Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Sometimes in life, we encounter people who teach us things we never knew we needed to learn, who offer a perspective that forces us to reevaluate our outlook, and who humble us with their innate wisdom and kindness. Sometimes, though, we also meet people who offer us none of these things. Ladies and gentlemen, Flats and Shanks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of our weekly podcast. I'm David Flatman.
I'm Tom Shanklin.
All right, mate?
Yeah, good, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. We've got new microphones, haven't we?
Lapels.
Lapels.
Don't know if this is going to make a difference.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on TV.
Yeah, I feel quite grown up, but if I feel like naked because we haven't got any, it doesn't feel like we've got any equipment at all.
It's like when you're on stage, isn't it, and you've not got a mic and you want to do something with your hands.
Yeah.
You've got to sit on them, haven't you?
I don't like to do it with my hands, that's why I'm sitting on them now.
Yeah.
That's why they're both down the sides of my tracksuit bottoms.
You've done that before though, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feels like someone else doing the podcast. That'd be interesting to know.
I've done lap dance for you.
It'd be interesting to know if the sound's any better. We know, we never have never at any point claimed that this is a professionally produced podcast, have we?
Not once. I mean, we've got loads of equipment, and to the untrained eye, it looks incredible. It looks like...
Yeah.
But if you knew what you were doing... It looks like air traffic control here.
But if you knew what you were doing, you would think it's complete Mickey Mouse.
I just plug stuff in, mate, and press every single button.
Yeah.
And if it works, it works.
Yeah.
If it doesn't...
We start talking about stuff, a couple of things to cover. We've had a bit of feedback. We asked for some feedback after, I think it was Guy Evans, who, you know, and we quite like a bit of feedback and it's useful. Ultimately, we want to do what we want to do, but it's if nobody else wants to hear it, then you're actually defeating the purpose. So it was about whether our kind of catch-ups and our made-up bit at the start and all that, well, it's all made up, but the sort of rambling at the start was too rambly and too long, and we got some... loads of interesting feedback. I don't know if Michelle Shanks sent all the feedback to you. She forwarded it to me. I got sent all the feedback, and it was not unanimous that people like it how it is, but it was close to unanimous. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to ignore people that would like a bit more in-depth rugby chat. They don't necessarily want more chat about results. They want more chat about individuals, bit of insight on players and that sort of stuff. But the general, the almost universal view was that you can kind of get rugby information anywhere.
Yeah, maybe we spend a little bit more time on a bit of the rugby.
Yeah.
Sometimes we
fly over it a bit, don't we?
Too much, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't touch too much last week on Wasps Leicester game coming up, did we?
No.
Things like that. So
but we were really busy last week and distracted.
Very
really,
true.
Really unprofessional as well.
Yeah.
Turned out to be a great game. But we'll take that on board and just send any feedback in you want. It's kind of...
I mean, we had a little bit of feedback about what you had to say about the podcast, Walk Among Us.
Yeah.
It was a podcast I recommended a couple of weeks ago because I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But you didn't quite like it as much because of the grammatical errors in there.
We did this ad nauseum last week, but at length rather last week. But
what's her name, mate? A woman.
Oh well, yes, we got a couple of messages on Facebook, and a lady called Ali McClellan.
But she wasn't happy that we didn't reply to her direct message on the Facebook page.
No, but we don't have that, do we?
No.
We
don't so do that. She was that unhappy that she decided to post it on our wall.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah.
Considering I didn't get a response on the private message I sent, I'll post here as well. It's like, well, apologies for that, Ali, but we don't have. I'm not even a Facebooker. Michelle does any Facebook stuff we do.
Yeah, it's Michelle's fault.
I think Michelle's just had twins, give her a break. But I think it's some Facebook Messenger thing that we don't have. Anyway, we didn't see that.
Right, do you want some humble pie? Are you all right?
What do you mean?
Well,
I've already eaten.
All right.
do you want to tell you what they said?
Yeah, go on.
So it's basically about a couple of people bashing us for bashing the They Walk Among Us podcast, bashing me rather, probably not you, Shanks, you like it. It's kind of reasonable that people like, it's entirely that people like different podcasts. It's also entirely reasonable that if you've got something invested in another podcast, I don't know if they have, someone openly doesn't like it on their podcast, they get offended by it.
Who knows?
But there was, you know, there were funny things that on the, I don't think it's funny or clever bagging out other podcasts, Ali says, and I never for one second thought it was funny or clever. That's fine.
But it was an opinion, that was all.
Yeah, it's a view. And she says, especially considering not even the same type of podcast, Serial being long form and They Walk Among Us being a week-to-week storytelling. But now, I referenced that, I think. I listened to it back the other day to see if I was that out of order, and I probably did go a bit. I probably was more relaxed, more critical than I would have been if I'd known somebody was listening, but I still would say it.
And you were hungry as well.
I was hungry, hadn't eaten for a good hour. And so, but I referenced that. I said, I prefer the long form podcast.
Mm.
There are week to week podcasts that I love, but I prefer the long form. I mentioned that, so I don't know why she's saying that. Listen to your own podcast. Your sound quality is not good. We know that. We never said it was. We are not ever willing to spend thousands of pounds on a mobile studio. We just don't want to do it. We don't think it's worth it. Look at some soundproofing. It's easy and inexpensive. We're learning as we go along. But as we've already said on this podcast, even, we're kind of making up.
You can never stop learning, mate.
Yeah. So I had a hard time understanding you due to poor pronunciation and mumbling. Absolutely fine. We learn from that. I just don't feel offended by Ali's comments.
No, I know what
she feels offended by ours, but I don't feel offended by hers.
I often mispronounce my words as well, so it's quite difficult sometimes understanding.
You're always mispronouncing your turds, aren't you? But Kirsty Lee, someone else joined in and said, "Super unprofessional. We're not professionals, so it kind of can't be."
I mean, we've got jobs outside of this.
Yeah. And it's also, it's like, point out the difference.
Well, I got a job, you don't.
I haven't.
Yeah.
Christy Lee wants to point out a difference to a network-produced podcast like Serial. We know that. A large team of writers, editors, producers who work full-time. Absolutely. An indie podcast, which is like ours. Now, the whole, next time, think a little before you mouth off about things you don't understand. Respectfully, ooh, Christy, I think I do understand that.
Fight and talk.
Yeah, I know what a professional podcast sounds like and looks like. This isn't one. Serial is one. But what I would say is, if we were effectively writing something that would take 30 to 45 minutes to read, I would always have it proofread by someone independent. And they didn't, and it bugged me, and I stand by that. So, but then the other one, I'm a friend of both the podcasts you bashed. Things get around in the true crime circles. We're a tight-knit community. It's like we're being bullied by Christy Lee in the true crime podcast community.
I don't think they're going
to
kill us, do you?
If you'll do me a favour, I'm absolutely willing to receive critical. We receive loads of feedback. Not all of it's positive. Most of it is, actually, because we don't pretend to be something we're not, I think, but some of it isn't. Things get around, you know, kind of be careful. It's like, seriously, if you're going to threaten me on Facebook, you go fuck yourself. He's threatening the wrong person. I'm not bothered.
We're not getting into true crime yet either, are we?
We will be if people keep. If they find out where we live, they might come and visit us.
I mean, once you sell your house and the drive's dug up, then possibly we might. But until then, we're going to stick to rugby. But yeah, the legals. That's the legals out the way with.
Mate,
we've got a good podcast today coming out.
Have we?
Well, we've got the two games, haven't we? Saracens, Exeter.
Hang on a minute. Shanks has prepped for this one.
Wasps, Leicester. I sometimes do prep.
You've prepped.
A bit of Lions news as well, we talk about.
Yeah, I want to know what you've been up to, though.
What have I been up to? Not that busy, mate, to be honest. I spoke in a dinner at Selby Rugby Club on Thursday with Doddy Weir.
He's mad.
He is mad.
He's mad as a cut snake.
He's a tall bloke, mate.
He is tall, yeah.
And dressed all in tartan.
I really like his company, actually, Doddy. I think he's a really nice man. We say that. Do you know what? I listened to a few of our podcasts this week, because I don't always listen to them.
Yeah.
And it is, someone wrote about it early on, it does bug me a little bit how often we say, great bloke, top boy, top boy.
But if they weren't great blokes, we wouldn't mention them.
We dish out praise too readily.
No, we don't.
I've met Doddy three times, and all three times have been great company.
The guys that we don't mention on here, we don't mention for a reason, because probably we don't think they're great blokes.
Yeah, or, Shane Williams.
Yeah.
Gareth Thomas, Will Carling.
Danny Grucock.
Jokes.
Yeah. So, with John Bentley, so he was the MC.
Bentos.
Always on form. So that was good. Lovely place, Selby Rugby Club as well. Did you go Big down, old club.
Did you go down well?
Big old club. And then and then I did something yesterday with...
Was it not a great gig? Just be honest.
I did something yesterday with Matt Dawson and Sonny McLaughlin for Five Live. I don't know what to make of it, really. I mean, it was great that I got invited on Five Live.
Yeah.
But the title of the show was How Not to Win a Lions Tour.
Oh.
Yeah. So I said, you know, if you want to...
Invite Shanks.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to know how to beat Romania and Japan, if you want to do a show on that, you know, I'd love to come back on. So it was good, though, mate. We had a little bit of a chat about what went on the Lions tour and things, you know, like bus one, bus two.
Was it live? I didn't hear it.
No, it was pre... it was live. It was live.
When's it coming out?
Yeah, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Sometime in the evening.
Yeah.
And it was also with... Eddie O'Sullivan was on there as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was just about...
Where's he now? He's not in America anymore.
I'm not sure. It's about how Sir Clive approached it and what he tried to do. And you can see all the reason behind, you know, why he wanted the boys to room on their own, you know, to get better sleep. And, you know, Paul O'Connell was on the show talking about how lonely he was in his room, you know, when he got back to his room, and how sometimes you feed off your
just
teammates.
Read Paul O'Connell's book.
Yeah. Have you? Yeah. I mean, I didn't find it lonely. I loved it, but, you know, Matt Dawson had been on two prior to that, you know, so he had something to reference it to. But for me, I was just honoured to be there. I was like just a kid in a sweet shop, just looking around all the time.
Yeah.
Wearing the stash. Still wear it now, you know that.
You do. Got your shorts on now.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
But, you know, and how he separated the teams as well, you know, so they both teams, you know, the midweek, massive.
I'm not...
Chairman, secretary.
Everyone talks about how Clive didn't quite get that tour right, and that's fine, I wasn't there, and I believe him, and I'm sure... Should have been there. Injuries, yeah. But I don't quite know how you don't end up with two separate teams. Like, I went on a...
Yeah, you're always going to end up with two separate teams.
Yeah, I went on tour when Jono was England coach, and, you know, what happens is that we're light training on a Tuesday morning. The test team are full on because they played on Saturday, and you just can't train together.
No, you can't. But it was... The point is as well that half the team would fly to different places in New Zealand to play, and the other team would stay put. So... There's always that separation as well. But it was really interesting. There's also a fair bit about the O'Driscoll tackle, you know,
Tanu Umanga
and
Matey Boy.
Kevin Mialamu.
Yeah, the one Danny Grucock bit, allegedly.
Yeah. It's, you know, and there was no apology for that tackle. No one said anything afterwards. And it was pretty horrendous tackle. Like, you know, if that happened in today's game, you know, there'd be 3-5 week bans. You know, nothing was happened. They were able to play last week. And it was just the fact that if something goes on like that in the heat of battle, you can accept it a little bit more if there is an apology after, and, you know, but there was nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was there. It was also, there was...
The All Blacks never seemed particularly apologetic, actually.
No, but it was a bit on Alistair Campbell as well and his role within it. It was actually really interesting to do. We talked about how sort of the team bonding at the start, which is always important in any team or in any environment, in work, whatever, you know, breaking down those barriers. We didn't have that. I might mention it before, but we each had to create, and we've given a print of what we had to draw on a big A3 bit of canvas paper with paint. We didn't know what the end picture was going to be, and then everybody had this individual canvas. And then we pieced them all together. There's this huge sort of canvas with pictures, with the lion's emblem, with lions, with rhinos, with giraffes, all these things. It all came together as one picture.
Got it.
But someone had doctored the rhinos.
Yeah.
So one rhino had a massive cock, and both were smoking fags. There was a cheetah with sunglasses on, you know, so... So, yeah, and then, you know, that was our team bonding session, which didn't quite work.
You know, you talk about Eddie O'Sullivan. Before we move on, it's not an Eddie O'Sullivan, but it reminds me of this really... Because I just read Paul O'Connell's book, and part of the book is about where he knocked out Ryan Caldwell, the second row, in training and put him in hospital and a dark moment and that sort of stuff. And sort of a crazy punch that went wrong. And remind me of Ryan Caldwell telling me, the second row, telling me about when Declan Kidney like dropped him, the old Irish coach.
Yeah.
And he was like, "No, come on in here now, Ryan." He's like, no, my accent's terrible. But he was like, the accent's kind of important. He was like, "No, you get the thing with the ball, Ryan, the bung with the ball, it's like sex. It's like sex at home, Ryan. You can't have it whenever you want it." "Do you understand me, Ryan?" He said, "Yeah, I get you, Dickie, I get you." He said, "I knew you would, you dirty bugger." That's how you drop someone from a team. That.
One of Eddie O'Sullivan's favourite sayings was something like, I can't remember what went on. I can't remember what went on, but he said, "He goes, that's about as much use as a trapdoor in a canoe." So, yeah, that was good. And that's it, really, mate. Just watched a bit of the rugby at the weekend.
Yeah. By the way, I'm feeling slightly uneasy since I referenced that kind of aggressive ending to that Facebook message we got from that lady who said, "We're a tight community, watch what you say," kind of thing. And I said, "Go F yourself." I'm feeling slightly uneasy about that now.
Okay.
Shall I get over it, you think?
Heat the moment, innit? Heat the battle, I'm sure they understand. Yeah. What have you been up to?
So Friday night I host this HSBC rugby club. They're a proper rugby club. They're just sponsored. They're the only HSBC is the only bank that retains a rugby team of all the big banks, which is a real shame. They used to all have them. But the HSBC rugby team in Beckenham.
Yeah.
I've done it the last few years. It's really, really good fun. I did that with Jason Leonard and, you know, standing
father
up.
Father and son.
Yeah. Standing up to do standing up to do a Q&A with Jason Leonard is not difficult because you could just say one word and Jason has done it 30 times and has got 10 stories about it, and he was amazing. That was really nice. And I did the sevens the next day, the seven. Bit of a hectic day. There isn't that much in life that stresses me out properly. I was stressed about this for a few weeks because there's someone called Chris Glanville, whom you know, who's probably listening to this podcast now in his car on the way up the M4 from Cardiff to London, who works for Perform, who make our ITV highlight show.
Yeah.
That's moving to Channel 5 next season. And he, ages ago, Michelle sent him an email saying HSBC would like flats to host the corporate areas, the corporate, their suites at Twickenham.
Can we talk about that quickly first?
I'm not going to leave it behind. On Saturday or Sunday, that weekend, which one can you do? So she sent an email to Chris saying, "Look, it's semi-final weekend.
Yeah.
What day can he do?" And he said, "Well, he'll be at the second semi-final because it's highlights. You've always got to be at the latest game, so it'll be Sunday." And I was never included on these emails because that's what agents do; they sort stuff out of that. And then so she booked me for the whole of Saturday. When I finally saw the booking come through, I said, "This isn't right." I saw it weeks later. I was like, "Hang on, this isn't right. Both semi-finals are always on the same day now."
Yeah.
So we had to ring up, and long story short,
good.
I had to do the HSBC thing, and as soon as I finished it, I had to physically run, which I don't do very often, from the corporate area.
You don't do running either, do you?
No, I ran in my smart shoes to my car and drove at the speed limit all the way to Coventry to get there for the semi-final and made it. So pretty stressed out.
What? Who were you interviewing in the HSBC area, mate?
Brian O'Driscoll, Ben Ryan, Jason Robinson.
Them all, don't they?
Oh, brilliant.
Dream gig.
They're really good as well.
Really?
They're really, really good.
What, stories, or is it just...
Jason's more about... Because Jason's kind of... he's just such a... He was such a phenomenon.
Yeah.
That people just want to hear what he was feeling before games, what he thought about this and that.
You're not talking about the sevens, you're talking about their experiences.
We talk about both, actually. Okay. And I just said, look, I know it's not a... And Ben Ryan, I mean, had all the stories about Fiji. Some of them were phenomenal. So, without running on too long, he took over as his first training camp as Fiji head coach, Fiji Sevens. The star player, forgotten his name. I couldn't pronounce it. I've forgotten it. So his top star player wasn't there.
Yeah.
Everyone says, where is he? He's in his village. He can't come. So he drives down to his village and they're like, where is he? He's through there. And he's just in this room lying on the floor. He's just lying on the floor. They're like, what are you doing? He said, I can't move. Someone's cursed my legs from another village. I'm like, what? This is his star player, professional player. And he said, I've been here for 2 days. I can't move until someone takes the curse off my legs. He's like, is this for you? He looks around and he's like, can someone remove the curse? They're like, no, whoever put it on has to remove it. Something like that. So he can't get his star player because he's got cursed legs and he's lying on the floor in his house.
Was it Maleficent? Did she curse
it? It was Maleficent, yeah. So just stuff like that. It's just something else that's fascinating.
I bet that was fascinating though. Listen to it. Because that's stuff you don't hear ever.
Yeah. And then he was saying, you know when a team concedes a try?
Yeah.
So you say you miss a really bad tackle and concede a try. We rally round you.
Don't use me.
No, someone else.
Yeah.
Gav Henson, Jamie Roberts misses a tackle.
Another tackle.
We rally round you. We sympathise. Yeah. We rally round you. And we either, our confidence goes or it soups us up and revs us up, whatever. They sympathise. They feel sorry for you. They feel sorry for their teammates.
Yeah.
So their natural, and this is fascinating, their natural reaction is to all miss tackles as well, so your mate isn't the only guy who's missed a tackle.
That's why I used to do it, mate. If Jamie missed one, I would miss one. just so he would feel better about himself.
South Sea Island influence. But it's fascinating. So he said, so during the Olympics in Rio when they won, he said if you watch it back, which you won't, but if you do, you'd see them, they make mistakes and they all start flicking their shoulders, a bit like Jay-Z used to.
Yeah.
Right? And he said that's flicking away that mentality that says we all perform, we don't sympathise, we're not all going to make mistakes so that you're not the only one who's made one. It's bizarre.
He basically made a huge psychological difference to that Fijian team.
Yeah.
They were unstoppable, mate, in that Olympics.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, teams look out. He saw England run out and they looked focused and rigid and up for it and psyched up and prepared.
Yeah.
And he said Fiji, seconds before kickoff, as they run out, they're bouncing out, they're skipping, they're smiling, they're laughing. Yeah. This kid or something along the lines of this kid walked out in the way of the team. And they were like, hey, buddy. And he stopped and had a chat.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you've got to run on. Yes, okay, you're okay, mate. Sort of, where's mum and dad? Where you meant to be? And he's like, as soon as he saw them out running out like that, happy and smiling, he just like, we've won it before they even kicked off.
Did you go to watch the final? Or did you have to shoot by then?
No, I had to go.
That was the next day.
That was next day. Scotland won it.
Yeah, I know.
I love that.
Second year running.
Yeah, I love that. Good on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant team. Absolutely brilliant team.
I mean, yeah. It seems this London tournament is the one they really seem to perform at.
Well, it's weather conditions, isn't it?
They're used to it. It was a beautiful day, Mike.
Don't
beautiful
like the heat, weekend. They don't like the heat abroad, do they?
No.
I said to Ben Ryan, my first question is, can you please put pay to the theory that the International 7 circuit is basically a 10-event stag do?
Mm.
And he said, no, I can't.
I think a couple of the Welsh boys won some awards. As like, you know, top performer, I think, was Sam Cross. He was in the GB team. And Ethan Davis as well won, I think, an award for... Because it's all to do with stats as well.
Yeah.
As to how many points individually you get. I would love to see Perry Baker and Dan Norton.
Yeah.
Just have one-on-one on the pitch, 7 minutes each.
Yeah.
Have a go.
Do you see Dan Norton's try?
Which one?
Well, the one where he makes a break, dances around, stops and starts. It's just like outrageous footwork. I mean, what an athlete.
I know.
He's got a defender on a bit of string.
I know.
He's just, what an athlete.
So fast, mate.
Yeah. And he's agile and he's explosive. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Good weekend.
Yeah.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Bet of the week, time.
So I bet, should we?
Now, you had the power in your hand last week, didn't you? Bet on Saracens to beat Exeter.
Yes.
We'll talk about that game a little bit later on. But unfortunately, didn't come through, did it?
No. Got that one wrong.
But this week, it's we're both in agreement that for the Aviva Premiership final, Exeter v Wasps, we will be betting on Exeter by 4 points or more. We're going to get into a bit of detail now after this little segment on the games. But make sure you get on the website, which is leovegas.com, and have a look at our bet. As you know, or you should know, all the proceeds that we win go towards our chosen charity, Children in Need. Terms and conditions do apply on the website.
What?
Yeah, got to be over 18.
Jeepers.
Yeah. Bet responsibly. And also go on there, the Twitter account. The bet will be shown up there. Make sure you follow Leo Vegas at Leo Vegas UK.
Yeah.
They sponsor this podcast. We're in partnership with them. Mm. Great company. Sponsoring the Leicester Tigers next year. Make sure you get involved.
Yeah.
If you don't, Dave's going to hunt you down and give you a dead arm.
Force feed you beef brisket.
Rugby chat.
Rugger chat. Sorry, I'm just yawning.
Yeah, I
not
know.
Not in preparation.
What have you done to your head, mate? You got a bit of a mark on there. Let me guess. You walked into the door frame again.
I hit a branch of a tree while I was mowing my lawn on the old rider.
You don't mow your own lawn, mate.
I mow my own lawn.
What happened?
I've never had my lawn mowed by someone else unless I was away. I was just driving along and bop into a... I went round with a chainsaw about a year ago. I got so sick of cutting my head on branch, I went round and lobbed off every single low branch.
Is that...
Only I missed one.
Is that why, you know, back in the day when you were like 18, 20, we used to call you Flymo because you mow other people's lawns? Where it comes from?
I was a nightclub grass cutter. Whatever was on offer, mate.
There he is, Flymo.
Oh, but I was an opportunist grafter. That's what I was.
In for the kill. Let's start off with Saracens Exeter.
Yeah.
Mate, right. There was three real good games in their playoffs.
Yeah.
But we'll start with
Exeter
Saracens. 18 points to 16. I mean, it was 6 all at half time, but that really didn't do the 40 minutes justice, really.
No, it was hell of a 40 minutes, and it was windy as you like.
It was a tight... Do you know what I really... And this might sound a little bit obvious, but I think it just shows you how key he is to Saracens. I think Brad Barrett was a huge loss for him. I know they had Duncan Taylor at 12, but I think you realise what a grafter he is. And
how good
much,
he is at it.
And how much the dog stuff he does. It's nothing... Yeah. You know, he's not a big sort of X-factor player like a Goud out wide or an Ashton, but he's so important to that team, and he's such an important cog in the way they function. And he was a loss, there's no doubt about that.
He does a lot of high-quality work, doesn't he, Brad?
Loads.
Yeah. I tell you what,
what I would call hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, close-quarter stuff.
Yeah.
A couple of times, Exeter chose to, and I think Sarries once actually, chose to kick for the corner when the penalties looked kickable.
Mm.
Earlier on this season, I spoke to Gareth Steenson after a game down there on the pitch.
Yeah.
And
swirling wind?
I just said, why didn't you kick that? And he said, mate, kicking there is a nightmare. And part of me, when I was watching it, thought, the kickers are bottling this. This is a year ago. But now I know. And he said, just stand here. And we stood and we moved 20 yards. And the wind was completely different. And he said, it's because this end is open. It comes from that corner. And it just, you can't kick here. So in warm-ups, he's like, I don't even bother kicking from here because it's so unpredictable.
Yeah.
So when they start, a lot of people thought, wow, that shows good intent going for the corner. I think it's just wind.
Course knowledge, that's what we say in golf.
Course knowledge, yeah.
Now, you said on the Aviva ITV 8 highlight show. A lot of players that impressed you. A lot of Exeter forwards impressed you. Now, Townsend.
Yeah, he was really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
Someone that's not played much first team rugby.
Yeah.
Live wire all the way through.
The kicking was good, I thought.
Very good. Mm. Just his general play and the general speed of game and the tempo he gives to teams. And scrum halves always give you tempo because scrum halves, you know, can either take their time at the base of the ruck or they can speed it up. It's how fit they are as well, because they've got to literally hit every ruck and get the ball away as fast as possible.
Yeah, of course.
Really good. Loads, though. I thought,
I mean, scrum halves can force a back line to realign quicker, can't they?
They can, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they can just slow the ball completely down and
when Pete Stringer first signed for Bath, and being in the stands and watching him, and he was arriving at breakdowns, picking the ball up and throwing it, and there was no one there.
Yeah.
And you think this is crazy, but George would get it fingertips. George Ford would get it in his fingertips. And he literally forced the back line to be in position quicker.
Yeah.
Peter Stringer was off the bench for 15 minutes and all the backs had their hands on their knees. Yeah. They were blowing because he was forcing the tempo and it won in the game. I'd never seen that before.
Now, Armin was good as well, wasn't he?
Oh, at seven. What a player he is. From Zimbabwe.
Yeah, I mean, all their big players basically stood out. But Phil Dolman was also good at 15.
Got a Welsh call-up now.
I know. I think he's 32 years old.
But he has been really, really good since the day he started.
I agree, mate. I agree he's been consistent. He's had a few injuries, mind, but it was his break off the scrum, centre field, that actually set up Jack Noel's try.
Yeah.
Steps inside, Wigglesworth, huge hole.
Yeah.
Left, back row wasn't coming across. But that put him massively on the front foot, and Jack Nowell did real well squeezing that corner.
He does do well.
He's in my Lions 15.
He's so on form at the moment. He can just almost do no wrong. He's fantastic. But I really like Stuart Townsend, and Don Armand for me was just,
I love his hair as well.
Yeah,
it's old school, isn't it?
Big hard unit.
He'd take up Acton aft and be like one of the baddies in the movies.
But he kind of does these turbocharged runs.
Yeah,
but he does them and does them and does them and does them, and he's just one of that new breed of player who is very big, very strong, with a real engine.
Here's a point for you. Now the game was obviously back and forth all the way. Mike Ellery, champagne moment for that try. Was Henry Slade in danger of a yellow card for that tackle?
Because he went in with no arms.
No, he sort of picks him up.
He's on his knees, isn't he?
No, he ends up... No, he's not. He goes low and he drives up as you would in a tackle. But Mike Ellery ends up going over the top to try and put the ball down.
Yeah.
It's one of those...
I can't quite picture it. So tell me what you think. I saw the finish. I can't picture the tackle.
I don't think it was. I know a lot of people were talking about it on social media about it should be a yellow card. Mostly Saracen supporters. But Mike Ellery's diving for the line over the top of Slade. Slade tackles him well, gets a good shot on and drives up.
Yeah.
There's no high elbows or anything like that. There's no position where you're looking to spear him, but Mike Ellery just ends up going over the top and scores try. I mean, personally, I don't think it was. Yeah, don't think they needed a card for that. I think it was just one of those. It was more so the attacker going over the top of Slade, so he sort of knew he was going to come. Yeah, a little bit like that.
Should we penalise Mike Ellery for jumping into it? I kind of like the fact that it's been let go.
But it was a real good finish by him. But, mate, what about that penalty in the half and the kick?
I've been thinking about this, Tommy, and you would have consciously watched more than me, because for me, I take touch finals for granted most of the time. I'd be too tired to look. I think that is the best touch finder from a penalty I've ever seen. I think it's the best I've ever seen.
You know, in those situations, right? And probably backs are a little bit closer to backs, and you know, you probably wouldn't come that often close to a 10.
Yeah.
I always used to say to like Nicky Robinson, Kerry Sweeney at the Blues, stuff like that, you know, you'd go like, go for distance now, but make sure you get it in. Yeah. Have a real crack, try and get it long, but you know, get it in.
You don't cock it up.
Yeah. And to be fair, mate, without that kick, they wouldn't have won the game.
They're not in the final. I didn't see how to like it. And how often is a team, excuse me, losing to Saris with 1 minute 52 to go?
Mm.
You need something inspirational to happen, and that was that kick. That was absolutely phenomenal. Massive, massive balls.
Huge moment. Delivers.
Yeah.
Sam Simmons' try, obviously.
Yeah,
I've watched him a few times, mate. He's a powerful player.
He's not that big, but he's mega powerful.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And his brother plays 10 as well. So,
you know, when you see Simmons, the 8, when you see him up close and live, you see someone who's not that big. He's powerfully built. I mean, he's a big unit, but he's not 6'5". He's not Don Armand's size.
He's like, who are the Sale brothers?
Curry brothers.
Yeah.
I met them on Sunday.
Isn't it?
No, he's smaller than them.
Really?
I'll tell you about them in a minute, because they're 18 years old and they are units, both of them. Mm. I was with them on Sunday, those two and Danny Kerr doing this thing.
What's their favourite food?
Chinese.
Yeah, knew it was.
And they're just lovely, lovely blokes. And I say that about, we say about everyone, we try not to. Danny Kerr's a tosser though, I'm joking, he's also a great guy. But the Curry boys were just, well, I said to Danny Kerr, you'd be really happy.
Has he got dwarfism?
No, I don't think so. He's got, and I said to Danny Kerr, you'd be more than happy if one of those Curry boys like brought your daughter home in a few years. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if they're the right age.
What's a goblin?
Just shut it, Lee. Because they're proper units. They can look after themselves. They're really bright and well brought up. And they're not the best looking bits of kit. So they're not going to get loads of offers in nightclubs. That's what I was thinking about. That's what I said to them. And they were quite happy with that.
Yeah.
But that Simmons kid, right? You see him live and you think he's not that big, and you see him move.
Mm.
And he's got, it's a bit the same with Dan Norton. He's nothing like Dan Norton when he's running, but they've got that power off the mark, and you think, whoa. And you look at he's got a big arse and big legs, and you think there's a lot of explosive power there.
That's what I was going to just say then. I reckon you can often tell how powerful someone is just by looking at their legs and their sort of their arse and their quads and their calves.
Yeah.
And you can sort of tell.
Not always, but often.
No, but not always, you're right, but often you can tell, because some people are quite thick set and they're not that powerful. Quite good at pick and goes, but they don't have that explosive power. Then you look at someone like Sam Simmons, and you can just tell.
Yeah.
He's a powerful boy.
But look at Jack Noel, what he's like in contact, how hard he is to put down, how good he is around the fringes.
Another one.
And you see him up close, and without sounding too inappropriate, you look at his arse and legs, and although they're tattooed and shaven and moisturised and oiled and tanned, they are big.
Mm.
He's big. You know, his upper body's not enormous, but his lower body is really big. And if you just saw their lower bodies in isolation, a lot of these guys could be, if you said that's a prop or a hooker.
Yeah.
You know, Jack Noel's lower half would be no smaller than Scott Britt's.
Yeah.
Or Jamie George, probably.
Yeah.
So they're powerful guys. And Simmons is just like that, isn't he? Really, really powerful.
Very, very much so. So they're in the final.
It was just the most fantastic game. And I thought Sarries would go there and win. And, you know, I get extensive amounts of grief on Twitter for being biased towards Exeter, which is a bit strange, but played over 100 games for Sarries, so if I was biased anyway, it would be that way. Turns out I wasn't, I was neutral. But
you weren't there. Andy Goode was there for...
Yeah, Alan was there. Yeah. Alan Goode.
But on the TV, it looked incredible scenes.
Yeah.
It's one of those games that you wish you were there just to experience the noise and the atmosphere.
I just like the fact that Andy Goode lives near Coventry and had to drive to Exeter to spend the day on his own while I was in Coventry with Marco.
Perfect.
But I was at the other semi-final.
Yeah, but you're the anchor, mate. So.
The what?
Yeah,
call me?
You heard me.
I was at the other game.
Sam W.
Holy moly.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. So, Wasps-Leicester, 21-20.
It was fierce. It was absolutely fierce. It probably wasn't the best game. I don't know. All I remember was the atmosphere and how intense it was. And some big players really stood up. A couple of things I felt watching it. One were that Dan Cole had the best game I've seen him have. I'm going to say a few years, so Coley. More than two.
Coley.
Colo, Cola.
Bloody good bloke.
Really good, yeah.
Never met him.
Yeah, really good guy.
Okay.
So he was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And, I mean, I was sitting with a load of journos in the crowd. You're talking about man of the match, he was that good.
Yeah.
And then they take him off. They take him off. They take him off with 10 or 15 to go, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why have they done that? And they bring on Fraser Balmain, good prop and all that, but Coley's just on fire.
Mm.
Penalty at the scrum, kick for the corner, eventually Wasps get the territory and pressure and win it. I'm not saying that's the only reason they lost. I just thought, you've got a player who he plays 80 all the time, leave him. And it was a change for change's sake. And I did think the Wasps pack got their confidence grew when they saw Coley going off.
Leicester gave away a couple of simple tries, which I feel that they could have defended easy. The first one was Beale's try.
Yeah.
And they look fine. They look like they're in position. The only thing is Thompson's a little bit close to Tate. Tate comes off the line, leaves Thompson.
Right, yeah.
Beale gets on the outside, just enough to attract the winger. Feeds Leroux back inside of Beale. Try. Beale was, again, incredible. Oh, he goes off injured.
What a player.
And it doesn't. I'm not sure if he's going to be fit for the final. That would be a huge, huge loss.
I'm going to go so far as to say I'm not sure they win it without him.
Freddie Burns, I thought, again.
Yeah.
I know both 10s were great. Cipriani was brilliant at 10 for Wasps, but just as good was Burns at 10. And that pass he hands beat them over the top.
What a pass.
Not many, only a handful of players, you and I included, could throw a ball like that.
Yeah, I could play against 10-year-olds and not throw that, let's be honest.
But, you know, Wasps were 20 points to 16 upright, and they, Leicester were 20 points to 16 upright, and Wasps have a line out, real close to their line. I think Tommy Taylor might have overthrown it.
Tommy Taylor came off the bench, and I think three lineouts went
down. You think, poor after guy. That line, you think, right, that's it. And there's only a couple more minutes left. No more chances.
Yeah.
But Gopeth makes a tackle, gets to his feet, turns over that ball, and then seven or eight phases down the line, they score in the corner.
Yeah.
But Freddie Burns knocks himself out, making a tackle.
Yeah.
And you know what he's trying to do, because often when there's a big player there, they want to set up a maul, or you've got to take him down early, you've got to chop tackle him. But there's a technique to it. And, you know, he's a very brave bloke, mate. He just goes flat out, hits his head.
Yeah.
Straight away, you look at people, someone like Dan Lydiot, you know, he's a master at that chop. There's a technique. There's a technique to it. Very brave.
And every Argentinian in the world.
Yeah, very brave. Throws himself, takes down the play, but knocks himself out in the same tackle, which means he can't get back to his feet, he can't get in position. There's a natural overlap.
Yeah.
And Bassett scores in the corner. But what a finish to the game, though.
And, you know, You go there feeling, again, completely neutral, nothing invested in that final except wanting a good game and whatever. Stylistically, or in rugby terms, we've got the best final.
Yeah, and Aviva, you've got the two best teams, the two most attacking teams, the two most exciting teams, the two teams that you probably compare to, like, super rugby teams in the way they play and the tempo they play.
Yeah. Third place has never got to the final.
Really?
Third place has never won the Premiership, apparently, someone told me the other day.
If you say it with confidence, mate, no one will ever...
Third place has never won the Aviva Premiership.
No one ever doubt you.
For this system, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Gopeth was, I mean, it was him or Dan Cole for man of the match. Mm. And you'd probably go, in the end, you go Gopeth, but on balance, you'd go Gopeth. He was inspirational. And do you know who I was really impressed by? Freddie Burns was brilliant, as you said, was brilliant. But Danny Cipriani, because Wasps weren't quite at it. They weren't quite doing it in attack. They missed a few opportunities. They couldn't quite get the ball wide fluently. Leicester shut them down. They were really aggressive. And they couldn't quite get after it, Wasps. Mm. And Cipriani absolutely didn't stop. I watched him loads during the game, and he was full of chat, full of encouragement. He was aggressive. He was telling people to calm down when they needed to.
Yeah.
And he didn't stop trying to create things. I mean, you could argue that's his job. But it did not go Wasp way that game for large swathes of it, and I thought he showed real character. I thought
Launchbury was knackered at one stage with
Tom Young's accidentally whacked him, didn't he?
But fair play to him. It looked nasty as well.
I spoke to Joe after the game and I said, "Are you all right?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Young's he got you there?" He goes, "Yeah, I know. I said, "It was an accident." He's like, "Was it? Are you sure?
Because he comes flying in, doesn't he?
He thought Young's he might have taken him out.
No, I don't think so.
This was like early second half, wasn't it? I think or first half, whatever it was. And Joe didn't know until after the game, when I spoke to him on the field, that it's an accident. So he was still wondering what had gone on. I think he was looking for Tom Young to say, "Mate, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing with you?"
But then, so anyway, at the game,
delivering him a message with his knuckles.
Yeah, knuckle sandwich. So after the game, we're sort of on the touchline, and you know, we Shanko, blokes like you and me are just rocks. We don't get too emotional about these things, about rugby, but it ended up being a really emotional finish, because you remember, you forget for parts of the game, and then you remember again that a lot of the motivation for Leicester Tigers was what's happening to Tom Young and his wife.
Of course.
at the end of the game, I just sat, I was about 5 metres from the Leicester bench, and I just watched. Ellis Genge came off the field absolutely empty, like he properly emptied it. He was outstanding in that game. And then again, and you'll watch Tom Youngs, and he just one knee on the touchline and just folded and broke down. And you're like, oh my God. And then the Leicester team all get around. Youngsy starts to speak, and it's just like, poof. And we're standing there with the camera 30 metres away waiting to speak to someone for an interview, and we all start crying. Like, it was just brutal. Welling up, absolutely brutal. So I just felt, although completely neutral, I felt like I would just love, much as I love Chiefs and all that, I would, and the way they do things, I would love Tom Youngs to lift that trophy, but wasn't to be.
I agree, mate, I agree.
But what a match, just astonishing. And the worst news to come out the weekend was Billy Vunipola.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll chat about that in a bit with some Lions chat, but we've just gone with the Pro 12 playoffs as well. Now, we were down in Scarlets last week, and we knew they were going to, we spoke to them, they were going to Leinster to play, and we didn't really give them a chance.
Well, I wrote them off a bit, didn't I?
Yeah, so well, I thought that as well. I thought it's a tough place to go.
Yeah.
But
very happy to be wrong, actually.
Very happy, mate. And they did it with 14 men for the majority of the game.
Steph Evans got red card, didn't
he? Do you see it?
Yeah.
It was the correct decision in terms of the law and the rules.
It's the right call.
And there's a lot of people who say it's not, but
I think it is.
Screw you, it is. But to finish that game with that amount of players, and sometimes, I mean, you've been in it as well, and I've been in it, where you do lose a player to a red card, and it just galvanises you that bit more. You always try as hard as you can, but you know you've got to try that little bit harder when you're down to 40 men. You've got to work that bit harder. You can't rely on you know, having that extra man because you're down to 14.
You have to communicate more aggressively.
You have to communicate more. It's just everything has to be 10-15% more.
I often wonder if you think more, because you have to think about certain situations. So you're running around the corner, and I know so-and-so is not there.
Yeah.
So I'm looking three players out, and I'm saying I wonder if that focuses you more.
I think it does. I think more so in set piece as well, because when you're losing the man, whether it be back row or whether it be on the blind side wing, you're aware of that more. So yeah, your brain's constantly ticking over. You're thinking constantly, you know, potentially where they're going to attack and things like that. But Stefan's played such a huge part in the season, in that game as well.
Scored a good try.
Yeah. You know, he has to be playing for Wales.
Yeah.
In his summer tour.
He's a fab player.
I hope he's not banned for a long time. I hope the red card.
He won't be.
No. I mean, he's.
No way. I thought Cubby Boy was pretty special.
Really good. Really good. He's not going on tour either.
I know. What's going on?
I don't know. We've got a couple of questions on that later.
What's going on with that?
But he had to play a lot on the wing as well. And you know, he was jamming in. Only someone like him could do that, mind, because of his experience in the sevens, and often you find yourself on the wing, it's very relevant to 15s, you know, that's that type of defence.
Wide open spaces
where you've got to make a decision whether to jam in or stay out.
Yeah.
He's got pace, he's got skill. And there's a lot of questions going on now as to why he's not involved.
I don't get it.
So anyway, Scarlets in the final, they're playing Munster, pretty easily beat the Ospreys, Toman Park.
Ospreys faded away, didn't they?
Yeah, I know.
It's a bit sad, that.
Yeah, the last sort of, I reckon, 4 to 6 weeks, they're slightly off the pace. But you know, they've still done well. They're in the Champions Cup next year. They finished top four.
Yeah.
You know, the season's over now. They'll write it off. They'll start again, start building again. They've got new players coming in. They're losing old players. So hopefully,
just kind of another season, but they did well to get to where they got to, but they did fade out a bit, didn't they?
Yeah, so we've got a Munster Scarlets final next week, and do you know what? I'm backing the Scarlets. I fancy them.
I'm backing Munster.
Okay.
But I'd love Scarlets to win, actually.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, purely because they're underdogs.
I don't think they're underdogs, mate.
Well, no, but
not,
I mean, they're
after the, yeah, I know what you mean, you but not mean? After the weekend's game.
It's kind of like Tottenham against Chelsea. It's kind of, they might not be underdogs in form, but actually they are a less successful club in recent times, so it'd be nice for them to succeed. That's what I mean.
And we're big mates with Phil Bennett now, so
Bezzy's with Benny.
Up the Scarlets.
Up your what?
The big news out of the Lions camp.
Yeah. Literally out of the Lions camp.
Try to persuade him, but he feels he's not 100%. Gatlin's on the phone to him, you know, just trying to get him over to New Zealand to assess his injury there, but reckons he couldn't give you know, 100%, and his shoulder's not right. And it's a huge loss, huge loss. There's no ball carrier in the Northern Hemisphere like him. I don't care what you say about...
Well, Louis Pinkamore, except him.
British,
okay. That's not what you said. That's not what you said.
No, all right. Pick me up on the technicals. There is no ball carrier like him. And him and Owen Farrell, I thought, were the two biggest players on this tour. You've lost one of them.
I would argue, someone said, is there a worse player the Lions could you lose? And a lot of people have said, yes, Owen Farrell. I would argue otherwise. I think Owen Farrell is verging on irreplaceable, but there are some really good 12s. There are 10s you could put at 12. I don't think Billy is replaceable. I don't think there is another one. Faletau is wonderful, but he doesn't have the brute force that Billy has. In heavy traffic, there is no one like Billy.
I would still say Farrell is, I reckon, is the best player on that tour.
And he's kicking goals and stuff.
He'd be the biggest loss. It's not just kicking goals. There's a lot of good goal kickers out there. It's how he plays the game at 10 and 12 and how he doesn't make mistakes hardly ever, how he makes his tackles, how he's cool under pressure, how he makes the right decisions, all these things. And not just you know, club level, you're talking the top level as well. And there's a big difference, you know, about performing at that level.
Yeah, he's fabulous.
Internationally. God,
Billy,
I should know.
The other night, this bloke who introduced me and Jason Leonard goes... He was like, you know, 122 England caps between them. Without Flats's contribution, it'd just be 114 left. You know, usual stuff. And he was like, Jason's win percentage for England, 72-73%. Flats, 88%. Everyone's like, Jason was like, they only picked him for the games they was going to win easy. All right, Jason, you're right though. Dead right, mate. He said he got sent our video we did for the BBC where I'm sitting next to his jersey in that pub, and you're like, should have been you. Didn't happen, did it? It's like, nah. Weren't you the next Jason Leonard? It didn't work, mate. And he was like, yeah, you know, you do yourself an injustice, mate. You know, you injuries at the wrong time. He was like, are you patronising me? A little bit, son, yeah. He was class. He was absolutely class. So, very funny.
Vinopola's out. Haskell's in.
Yeah. Banter. Bants with a Z off the charts.
Someone tweeted 40 Lions and one Bantosaurus. On tour.
Someone did this brilliant picture of the British Lions emblem. Might have been Egg Chasers, actually, those lads. And it's just Haskell strutting out with his, walking out onto the, when he got off the bus at Twickenham to walk through the crowd, and he's got his GoPro on a selfie stick. And it's like, really, wrong two, you know, like, ah, jeez, you know.
I know. But, like, I think Haskell's a worthy Lion, definitely. But if you're looking for a like for like, wouldn't Nathan Hughes be?
Yeah.
You know, a number 8. But
yeah, Gatton doesn't rate him, obviously.
No, but I think they're now looking at CJ Stander primarily as a number 8. So
yeah, behind Faletau, you'd imagine.
Yeah.
I actually thought, if you're looking at 7, I thought Hamish Watson must have been close. Thing is, Haskell can play more positions. He'll play 6, 7, 8 for you. And
Hamish can only play 7.
Yeah, and if you're, and Haskell doesn't, he doesn't technically cover second row, but if you're up against it midweek, Haskell can jump in the line out,
of course.
And he's an ox, he's 118 kilos, so you could stick him in there behind a decent prop and say push.
Yeah.
Hamish Watson, you can't do that.
No.
So that argument about Hamish Watson going, I think, is valid, but I think there are reasons.
That's why not many sevens, you know, specialist sevens are ever on the bench because they only play one position.
Yeah.
But Warby's fit. Good news.
Great news.
Yeah. With 11 days to go, 10 days, I don't even know.
Whatever. Going out pretty soon.
Reece Webb, Ken Owens, still slightly injured.
Yeah, the Ken Owens one's an interesting one.
It's his ankle, isn't it?
I heard.
I think so.
Yeah, but I don't know what it is actually, but I heard some interesting chat about who might go. Otherwise, and you never quite know. And are they going to pick Dylan? But do you know what?
No, I don't.
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me. I would be serious. What I'm going to try and get to, I usually takes me 20 minutes to say something. I'm going to say this in 10 seconds.
Good.
3 seconds. I would absolutely have Fraser Brown near the top of my list as replacements to go to New Zealand.
Okay. Cool.
Right.
Yeah. Do you want me to agree?
Do what you want, I don't care.
Okay.
Do you know who else I'd have near there?
Hibbard.
Okay.
Said it before, say it again.
Right, my love, it's question time.
Okay, lover.
Right, we've got Sam Herbert on Twitter. Why do teams make substitutions at 45 minutes and not swap at half time?
Do you know what?
I don't.
It bugs the orange peel out of me. I do not know why. I do not know why they do that. Why? Just change it at half time.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
It's strange. Sort of like premeditated subs, aren't they?
Although once, we were playing against Toulouse. Well, I played for Bath against Toulouse.
Here we go.
And in the Heineken Cup, it was then, in Toulouse. And it was a really important game for us. And we had it won. And Johnny Fatamatuenu, the Samoan back row, accidentally kicked it through a ruck, dived on it, penalty. They won it. And it was just one skiller, but we basically had it won. Skrella kicked it from the touchline. Anyway, I started the game, Dave Barnes on the bench, and I was blowing a bit at half time, but I actually had a decent half, like the scrum stood up real well.
Yeah.
I accidentally made a massive hit on David Skrella.
Yeah.
Like I was just blowing out, I couldn't get in, I was too tired.
But obviously 18 stone plus behind you.
Yeah,
I put that much force on a 10.
Yeah, I just ran up, they were like up, and I just moved forward thinking it's the last couple of minutes of the half. I'm dying here. Blowing out my ring and but struggling here. Yeah. And David Skrella got the ball, and I just looked and accidentally got him like face on face, bashed him, and everyone was like, "What a hit!" I was like,
"Did you say anything?" Wallop.
What? Don't go down my channel, boy. No, I didn't. I just went. Anyway, popped my rib out, dislocated a rib in the first half in a scrum, and I knew I'd done it, and it was pretty sore. And I said at half time, "I think I've done a rib. Can you have a look at it?" So the doc's in there and he's like, "Right, we can do this, but we can't put anaesthetic in it because it's not legal. You haven't cut yourself." And
yeah.
So I'll be completely
cut
frank.
Me.
I'll be completely frank on this podcast. I said, "Fucking cut me then."
Yeah.
Cut me and get a jab in it because it's killing me. And the doctor said, "Absolutely not." He's the Gloucester doctor now, Julian Widdowson.
Okay.
And we've said this about 8 million times on this pod. He is a great bloke. I would trust Jules in my life. And saved me a lot. And he said, "Absolutely not. I'd rather you didn't play."
Do you trust me with your life?
No. Yes. He said, "I'd rather you didn't play."
With your sister?
We're not doing it. Not with my sister, no.
Okay.
So, hence when I put the elbow in a few years back, stop it happening. So, he said, "I'm not doing it." So, I stood up and said, "Right, luckily I'm a tough bastard, I'll dig in." I said, "No problem, I'll dig in." And as I walk out of the changing rooms, the team has already gone out. I can see Nick Abendanen walking out the back. I was like, "Oh, shit, I better run out."
Yeah.
So, I get, pull my shirt back down. Pull my shorts up and pants up and run out because Julian made me take my pants down, check my rib. Never understood that. Anyway, I ran out and the team manager stopped me. He's like, "Flats, what are you doing? Barnsley's on." And they subbed me off thinking I was injured with my rib without telling me.
Yeah.
Absolutely livid. I maintain that if I'd played, we'd have won that by 40.
Right. El Paso de Quibra.
Last week you couldn't pronounce that guy's name? It was Cure.
Yeah.
You were like cure.
Oh, different pronunciations, isn't there? Dove, dove.
Cure. It's an English word.
Dove, dove.
Like medical cure. Cure.
Chill out, mate.
Jesus. H.
Have some chamomile tea.
Yeah, right.
Live longer.
Right.
What's your favourite cut of meat?
I would say probably either a brisket of beef, or no, probably a really good ribeye.
Yeah, I agree.
I had a Spanish ribeye with my mate Marcus, who's Devon Woodsmoke on Twitter.
Yeah, I see you post a lot of stuff about him.
Yeah, he did a reverse seared
Give
Spanish
us a free
ribeye
barbecue.
It's the best steak I've ever had. Did someone write that? Give us that's you.
Matt Joplin says, "Is Chris Robshaw unlucky to miss out on the Lions call-up in the wake of Billy V's injury?"
Yeah, he would have been one of the guys that was up there. Had a chunk of time out injured, so did Haskell. Realistically, like look at Wilson from Scotland, he could have gone. I think he's a really good player no one talks about. And there are a good number of top boys that could feel unlucky now, yeah.
Here's an interesting question, right? Alfie Clark. If the Lions had Sexton at 10, Farrell at 12 and Halfpenny at 15, who do you think would kick at goal?
Farrell.
Well, do you know my thoughts on this?
Go on then.
If they've all got the same sort of percentage rate and they're all great kickers, I would leave it with the 10 because the last thing you want to do is start messing with the 10's brain and 10's confidence because they're in charge, basically, of running the game, of putting in the right positions. If you take that away from him, then there's a lot of, they don't have confidence in me, and that sort of, and it can affect his game in general.
That's really interesting. I never thought about that.
That's how I think of things, anyway. You know, if there's If a 10 is just as good as someone else, give it to the 10 because you want him in the right frame of mind for your game because he's the leader out there.
Yeah, that's interesting. What might end up happening is you could try and leave it to the players to decide, but then what if they all wanted to do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about that.
Right, more questions. What can James Haskell bring to the Lions squad? Pete Ferguson, Twitter.
Pete, you know what he brings. He brings loads and loads of tackling, loads and loads of hard work, training his arse off, and absolutely amazing blokes. I think
that's the biggest part.
I agree.
I think he'd be a brilliant tourist. Just there's a lot of downtime because you're training for 2 to 4 hours a day. The rest of the day you've got to time on your own. You know, you hang around with the boys.
You're living together for a month or more.
You want people who are good laugh to be around that are funny.
And he's not only very funny and very nice, he's also relentless. He doesn't sleep. So I got the feeling when we spoke to Warren Gatland that it was very close between Haskell and Sean O'Brien.
Yeah.
And I think if it had come down to... Oh, it's the phone. Mm. We're in Shanks' mum's kitchen, by the way. I think that'll be a big, big part of why he's...
What's your Lions back row now? Billy's out. That's Michael Lees.
All right, Mike. Shut that up, mate, will you?
Oh, mate, I don't know what's going on.
Are we going to hear a message? It'd be so awkward if we heard a dirty message. What are you wearing?
Stop it.
Jane? What are you wearing, Jane? I'm distracted now. I have Faletau at number 8, Swarbrickson at 7, and...
CJ Stander
at 6, yeah.
Yeah.
I would, yeah. But if Omani has an inspired... few weeks before the tour, he could nick it for me.
Yeah, just going back to that. Remember, I talked about the Slade tackle. Gary Jackson on Twitter wanted to know whether he should still be on the field. Mate, I think that's about it, really.
Yeah, I think it's at this point.
Dan Wright says, "Do I get jealous of Flats's bromance with Durders?" Yeah, massively.
You do a bit. Don't
I hate Durders. Seems a better crap than me as well.
You do a bit, don't you?
Yeah. Have a last one. What's your favourite sandwich, mate?
Oh, God, that's not easy. Beef and horseradish.
Okay.
Or no. Crayfish tails and mayo.
That's so you.
What's yours? Cheese and ham?
No, pickle.
That's so you.
Branston pickle. It's got to be a nice cheese. It can't be just like a crappy cheese. It has to be an extra mature cheese.
About as Welsh as I am. Yeah. At this point, we would like to say send, for what it's worth, all our love and support to the people affected by the horrible stuff that happened in Manchester. Pretty difficult. I don't know about you, Tommy, but I know about it. I know all the facts and stuff, but I can't bring myself to watch anything about it because it's
breaking. It really affected me more so than anything. Not only because of the absolute tragedy, but you know, I've got kids myself, and you know, my little daughter was desperate to go see Ariana Grande as well. So it's terrible times. I put it on Twitter yesterday. We tweeted it from Flats and Shanks. It's an amazing poem by a guy called Tony Walsh in Manchester. Longfellow, his name is.
Yeah.
And he just sums up what Manchester is.
Yeah.
And they did a bit of a tribute yesterday. It's absolutely incredible and moving and inspiring. And I want you all to go onto our Twitter account and have a look at it.
Because And I'm not generally one for... I will have a look at that. I haven't seen that. I look forward to reading that now. But I'm not generally one for quotes and that sort of thing. People get very emotional and people say a lot and there are fake bits of news coming out and that sort of stuff, whatever. But a man called Eric Stoller on Twitter yesterday tweeted a quote from Martin Luther King, which is one of the ones that I do... When I say often, I regularly think about, which is... Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. Mm. That's what works for me.
Mm. Yeah, well, our thoughts and prayers going out to everyone in Manchester that's been affected by this.
Yeah, have a good week, guys. Spread the love.
Thanks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.